And there we go. So, happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. Where was I? I was over at the office this morning getting ready. I don't know how I remembered it was Mother's Day. Dates are not something I remember very well. So those things, I told people there's only two dates I have to remember. My wife's birthday and our anniversary, and that's it. Everything else can fall by the wayside. But for some reason, it dawned on me this was Mother's Day. So I sent my mom a text real quick this morning. I didn't call her. I sent her a text. Told her happy birthday. Then I thought, you know, I'll send my wife a text too because I might forget to tell her. So I sent my wife a text this morning and said happy birthday. She didn't answer me for a long time though. So she did finally though. Okay, so this morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 148 is where we're at. We've been going through here in these last few chapters of Psalms, and the subject we've been talking about is praise the Lord. You know, in the time that we're in right now, and the unsurety, the things changing, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how things are going to go. But in all honesty, has anything really changed? We didn't know what was going to happen before. We think we did. We thought we were in control. And the Lord does things. He does things to countries, to nations, to families, to people, to let us know that we don't know. We're not in control. We're not controlling things around us. I'm a type of person that I like to, well, when I was plumbing, my boss would give me a job and he would say, this is your job. So, okay, I'd be on this job for a year, 2 years, something like that. He would come out and he would start directing. Like, am I doing something wrong? Because if I'm doing something wrong, you ought to just tell me, not come out and take over my job. If this is my job, let me do it. I'm a controlling person. I'm working on that. I've worked on that for many years. But you know, the Lord put me in places and positions that I had no control. There was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could change. There was nothing. And that's kind of where we're at now. It seems like there's nothing we can do. We don't know what's going to happen. But when you look at the book at it all, we never really knew what was going to happen anyway, did we? We never did. So what do we do in this time? We do the same thing we're supposed to be doing all the time. We praise the Lord. We give Him glory and honor. We praise Him. Why? Because of who He is, because of what He's done, because of what He's going to do. You know, in Psalms 148, it starts out in verse 1 and it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him in all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. And we looked at that a couple Sundays ago, that He starts out to praise here on earth, not on earth, but in the heavens. So it's up high, praising the Lord for what He's created, for all the creation. He gets in verse 7 and He says, praise the Lord from the earth. Now it gets down, not just in the heavens of the heavens are to praise the Lord, but now it gets down to the earth, and the earth is to praise the Lord. Everything here on earth, and He goes through a list here. He says, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hell, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Not just is the sun, moon, and stars, the angels and all the hosts, but also everything that God has created is to praise the Lord. He tells us this, that the whole creation is to praise the Lord, but then He gets it even more personal. And that's what I like about this psalm. It starts it out way far away from us, that everything else is to praise the Lord. The heavens, the hosts, then the angels, and the sun, moon, and stars are to praise the Lord. But then it gets it down to earth, and all the creation is to praise the Lord. But then, in verse 11 is where we're at. He says in verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. He gets it very close to us. What are we to be doing in these times? But it's not just in these times. I say that to make a reference to that. But it's not just in these times that we're to be praising the Lord. We should always praise the Lord no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what circumstances going on in our lives, no matter what you're going through. Don't let that situation, that circumstance, take your joy away to stop you from praising the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what we're commanded to do, is to praise him. And we're going to see some in here of why we praise him, why we are to. He says in verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. And he mentions, the first thing he mentions here is the kings of the earth, the leaders, our president. What is it that our president ought to be doing? Praising the Lord. No different than you and me. No different. Every king, every leader, our governor, our mayor, all the ones on the city council, what are they to be doing? Praising the Lord. That's what they're to be doing. Why? You think about this in the Bible. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, wrong way. Proverbs chapter 8 and starting in verse 15. Proverbs 8 and 15, the Lord says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. How is it that a king gets put into power? We in this nation, in this country, we have an election coming up, right? We have an election coming up that we're going to vote for a president. How is it that president gets put into power? Well, it's because they get the votes. They get the votes, and therefore they get in power, right? No. We vote, we do our part, but who do we trust in to put a president in power that needs to be there? We trust the Lord. He's the one that puts the rulers in place, and he's the one that takes them down. He's the one. It's not us. We don't put our faith and our trust in us. We don't put our faith and our trust in the system. We don't put our faith and our trust in our vote. We put our faith and our trust and our hope in the Lord. That's where our hope and our trust is at. That's where our faith is at, is in him. And that's what he's saying here, that the kings of the earth ought to praise the Lord. Why? Because they didn't put themselves there. The Lord put them there. They ought to praise the Lord because of what he's done. Look in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, and there in verse 20, we'll start in verse 19. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness and in the light. Dwelleth with him. We're going to stop there, but the Lord is the one. In verse 21, it says, he's the one that setteth up kings, and he's the one that taketh kings down. It's not us. Look, our hope and our trust and our faith, our reliance is not on a system, a governmental system. Our reliance is on the Lord. We don't praise our government. We don't praise our president. We pray for our president. We pray for our government, but we praise the Lord. We praise him. He's the one that is due the praise. So back there in Proverbs, I'm sorry, Samuel, Psalms 148, verse 11, he says, the kings of the earth and all people. That all people there are referring to everyone underneath the king, that underneath the president that's in that nation, it's in that country, ought to praise the Lord. See, it doesn't give qualifications to whether or not that is a good king, a good president, a good ruler. But we ought to praise the Lord. We're to praise the Lord no matter what situation we're in, no matter what's going on in our lives. We are to praise the Lord. There are things happening. There are good things going on no matter what is happening in your life. The Lord has blessed you. And all people ought to praise the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Here it says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We as a people, we pray for our president. We pray for our leaders. We pray that the Lord give them wisdom. Why? Because the Lord's the only one that can give them wisdom. We pray that the Lord guide and lead them. We pray that, and then we rejoice when the Lord does. The verse here tells us that when the righteous rule, it says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why? Why is it the people rejoice when the righteous are in authority? Because they have more freedoms. They trust the Lord. It's proven. They trust the Lord. They look to Him. But when the wicked are in authority, the righteous men seem to run away and fade. And our freedoms tend to go when the wicked rule. They're not for what the Lord wants. The wicked are not, but the righteous are. Look, who is going to be our next president? Do you know? I don't know. But what I do know is my God is still going to be my God. That I do know. And so where is my reliance at? Is my reliance on our leaders? No. Why? Because this verse here tells us that there are righteous that lead in authority and there's wicked that lead in authority. We don't know. So who do we trust in? Who do we praise? We praise the Lord. We put our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord and not in our leaders, not in our politicians, but of the Lord. Verse 11 of Psalms 148, it ends up and says, kings of the earth ought to praise him, and all people ought to praise him. Then he says, princes and all judges of the earth. The princes, the sons and daughters of the king, of the leader. You know what? It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what power you have. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be praising the Lord. Doesn't matter what status of life you have, whether you were born into a wealthy family or born into a poor family, you know what you ought to be doing? Praising the Lord. No matter what you were born into, no matter what status, and we as people, it's a common thing, it's our nature, that when we are put in a place of power, what is the first thing we do? We think we've arrived. That's what we do. We think that. And you need to be careful with that. Well, the one thing when I was plumbing that I didn't like going in an area and plumbing in an area where a brand new inspector was at. It's just going to be a pain. This guy's going to come out and flaunt his authority is what he's going to do. So when I became a plumbing inspector, what is the one thing I didn't want to do? I wanted to make sure I didn't. Not that I never did, but it's a temptation there for that. But he's saying, no matter what power you have, no matter what status in life, no matter what position you hold, it's the same requirement for every one of us. We're to praise the Lord. We're to give him praise. In verse 12, he says, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Look, it's not just the royalty that is to praise the Lord. It's not just the kings that's to praise the Lord. It's not just the politicians that are to praise the Lord. It's not just them, but he says both young men and maidens. The young are to praise the Lord. Those that have youth on their side are to praise the Lord. Look, I know what that is. I remember, believe it or not, I'm not that old that I don't remember being young. Everyone here remembers being young, right? It's further away for some people, but closer for others. And you decide whether it's far away for you or further away. But I have come to a conclusion, I said this before, that old is always 10 years older than me. It's always going to be 10 years older than me, I think. Because old just keeps getting older. Have you noticed that? The older you get, the older old gets. But in this, the young, the youth, I remember when I was young, people would tell me that, look, you don't need to mess with this. You don't need to mess with those people, hang out with those people, because they're going to lead you down the wrong path. And I was thinking, no, they're not going to lead me anywhere. Nobody's going to lead me anywhere. You know, I felt like, well, I'll tell you, when I broke my leg, that was when I realized something. I realized when I broke my leg that I felt like I was bulletproof. You know, I think that's a lot of young people. I've talked to young people. I've talked to people that have grown out of that. And they're like, yeah, you do. You think you're bulletproof. You think you can handle anything. You don't go around saying you're bulletproof, but you have that mentality that you can handle anything. You hear today and listen to this and hear that are in the youth, you're praise the Lord. You're not to rely on your strength of your youth. You're not to rely on your reaction time. You're not to rely on your knowledge, your wisdom. And nowadays, everybody thinks they're really smart because what? They can Google it. Have information right there at your fingertips. When I was a kid, there was no Google. There was no internet. And we still had some smart people in our class that you'd say, if you wanted to know something, you would go to a couple different people in the class because they knew. They didn't have to Google it. You'd ask them a question like, yeah, this is what that means. How do they know that stuff? I have no idea. But they knew. They were our Google. They were. But nowadays, everybody thinks they're really smart, that they got this all under control. They got it. Why? Because they can look it up and have it in a heartbeat. But you can't trust in that. You can't. Youth. Young men and maidens is what he says. Both young men and maidens are to praise the Lord. Look in Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse 5. When you're young, you think you have it all. You think you have the world at your feet. I was trying to think of the saying, and I think the saying is you have the world by the horns. I don't remember exactly what the saying is, but verse 5 says, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Who is it, youth, that gives you the strength? Who is it that keeps you going? Who is it that feeds you, that protects you, that keeps you? You need to understand it's not you. It's not you that does that. It's the Lord that provides for you. He's the one that takes care of us. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 and 10. We're talking to the youth, the young men and ladies, young ladies. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." Now there's a lot of, I have heard this verse quoted. I have seen this verse in different places. You don't hardly ever see the whole verse. I've seen it and they stop there with a lot of things they've quoted and things they've said. Look, the world says follow your heart. The world says make yourself happy. Seek those things. You have a right to be happy. That's what they say. But the last part of this verse, you listen to this. It says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. It does not say that God might bring thee. It says God will bring thee into judgment. Look, with your youth, live your life and serve the Lord with your youth. But know that everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, every place you go, you'll be brought before the Lord for judgment. Know that. You know, my parents told me, be careful what you look at. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you hang around, because once it's in your mind, it will never leave. How many of y'all heard that when you were young? How many of y'all believed that when you were young? We don't believe that, though, do we? We don't. But we think, it's okay. Oh, I wish I'd have listened to that. I wish so much I'd have listened to that. Because, you know, there's things in my mind that I cannot get rid of. It's not like my computer. If my computer gets a virus, what do? You just reboot it, restart it, take it back to the factory setting, or get rid of it and get another one. You know, just there's different things you can do, but for your mind, once it's in there, it's there. It's there. Youth, pay attention. Be careful what you put in your mind, because you cannot, it will never be gotten rid of. It will always be there. Since we know that we're going to be brought before judgment, God will bring thee into judgment. Verse 10 says, therefore, because you know this, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Those things that you feel in your youth, they're not going to keep you. They're not going to help you. You're still going to grow old, or you're going to die, or grow old and die. But it says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. He doesn't mean that you should always be happy. There's going to be things happen in your life that's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you sad. It's going to disappoint you. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But look, remove sorrow from your life means think about what you're doing. To lessen the regrets you're going to have later in life. Lessen those. To take those things away and put away evil from thy flesh. Why? Because it's not going to help you. Look, we're talking about praising the Lord in the youth. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If the Lord blesses you with a long life, you're going to get to a point in your life to where the youth is no longer there. Did you know, I remember a time in my life when, this may shock you, when I had hair. Some of y'all have seen a picture at our house, our wedding picture, and they wondered who my wife married first. It was me. I had hair, right? Some of y'all haven't seen it, but some of you have. And I remember having hair. I remember being skinny. I remember being young and having all kinds of energy. I remember that my grandma and grandpa would call me up and say, hey, we're going to have supper about 4 o'clock. Okay, I'll be there. My mom would call me up and say, hey, supper's about ready. Okay, I'm on my way home. I'd go home. I'd eat supper. The next door neighbor would call me up and say, hey, we're going to have supper about 8. I'll be there. I happened 3 or 4 times a week. I was skinny. I ran. I'd done all kinds of things. I had energy and I had vigor and vitality and I was ready to go. Something happened. Somewhere along the way, something happened. But you know, that desire is still there. The desire to go and to work and to do is still there, but the ability is leaving. The ability is not there. And it is, you're going to come to a point when you can't. You can't do anymore. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth to serve Him. I remember my dad telling me that he looked in the mirror one morning and it took him by surprise. Who was looking back? And I laughed at that. I'd laughed at that for a long time. That got me tickled. You're the one looking in the mirror, Dad. That's just silly. But you know, I remember when I was taken by surprise by the one looking back. Because it's not, I don't feel 47 years old all the time. I don't. Sometimes I feel younger. You know, and we do that. But that youth goes away. But youth, that desire doesn't. That desire to go and to serve and to do is still there. But he's telling you, do those things while you can. Don't say, I have time. Because you don't. Do them now. In verse 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes 12, it says, let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. The conclusion to everything. The whole book of Ecclesiastes is summed up in 2 verses. Let us hear the conclusion to the whole matter. How to live your life. It's fear God. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether secret, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Youth, young ladies, young men, what are you to be doing with your life? To praise the Lord. Use your life as God honoring to him. So when you look back on your life, you won't have regrets. You'll have memories of service to him. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy 4 and starting in verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." This is what we ought to be doing. Those of us that are older, we ought to be showing the young people how to live, not telling. We ought to be showing. Living before them how they ought to live, how they ought to make decisions, teaching them by doing it. Young people, this is the way you are to be. You're to be serving the Lord, following him. Live your youth so that when you get older, you won't despise it. You won't look back and say you wasted your life. But you will be an example of how to serve the Lord, how to follow him. Back in Psalms chapter 148 and verse 13, or verse 12, he says both young men and maidens. Then he says old men and children. It doesn't matter how old you get. There's no age limit to praising the Lord. Do you understand that? There's no age limit. If you have a breath, if you're taking a breath, you should praise the Lord. How young should a child be before they learn how to praise the Lord? As soon as they can learn. There is no age limit. We're old or young. There's no age limit. We all ought to be praising the Lord. There's no time in your life. Yes, when we get older, we get to where we can't do anymore. We can't go like we used to. We can't do the work we used to do. I remember my grandpa Pete told all of us, we were picking something up. I don't remember what it was. And he was always one to just go get it, go do it. If it don't work, we'll do it again. That was his philosophy. And I remember he stopped me and said, "Hey, guys, we need to plan this out." And Grandpa wasn't a big planner about things. And so he said, "Look, I got one good lift. That's it. I got one. I give you one. You got no more. It'll take me a couple days so I can lift again." You know, and that's where he was at. And he knew that. But there comes a time in our lives. He had one good lift. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're done. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're done. Doesn't mean that you're not able to be used. Just because if you can't come to church anymore, you're a shut-in, you can't go, does that mean that you can't be used anymore? No. Old ought to praise the Lord. The old, in verse 12, old men and children ought to praise the Lord. Praise him, give him glory and honor with all that you do. In verse 13, he says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." You notice in verse 5, he says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." It's the same starting to that verse. In verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." But in verse 13, it ends differently. He's telling in verse 5 that they ought to praise him because he commanded and they were created. Verse 6 says, "He hath also established them forever and ever, and he hath made a decree which shall not pass. He set the heavens and the earth. He set all of the planets, all of the sun, moon, and stars in place." And they ought to praise him because he created them and put them in their place. They ought to praise him. But in verse 13, he says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for or because his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." We ought to praise the Lord because of who he is. Because he is God. We ought to praise him. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We ought to praise him because his name is exalted. We should praise him because of who he is. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 5. Solomon is writing a letter in verse 5, and he says, we'll just read verse 5 and 6. It says, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods." In verse 3, he's sending a letter for cedars to come, for a man that knows how to do the work. In verse 6, he says, "But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him?" Solomon says, who am I that I should even be worthy to build him a house? And how can I build a house that even the universe cannot contain him? The earth cannot contain him, and yet I'm going to build him a house. We ought to praise God. Why? Because he cannot be contained in any of this. He created all of this world. He created everything that we see. He holds us. He keeps us. Think about this. He is the great I am. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses asked a question to God when God tells him to go to Egypt and get his people out. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" I love this answer that God gives him. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." God told him, I am that I am. Have you ever looked up the words I am in the Bible? Y'all looked them up. Y'all looked that up, and I looked them up a long time ago and printed them out. I got like 60 pages of where God said I am in the Bible. I mean, he is. When you hear the words I am, what does that say to you? Does that tell you anything? Does it? Does that cause you want to serve him, want to follow him? Because he is the great I am. He says, I am that I am. He's all in all. He's everything. The children of Israel knew when Moses said, I am has sent me. They knew who he meant. Do you understand who I am is? He's the creator. He's Jehovah. He's everything. He's all in all. Why is it that we praise him? Because he is I am. He is the great I am. In verse 14 of Psalms 148, says, "He also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." We ought to praise him. Why? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Why should we praise the Lord? Ephesians chapter 1. We want to read verses 3 through 6. It says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame unto him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved." We had no hope. We have no hope other than Jesus Christ. But none. Why do we praise him? Because he is our all in all. He's everything. He chose. Do you understand what it means when he says, "I have chosen you before the foundation of the world"? You didn't choose him. He chose you. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here in verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, I'm just going to read this one verse here. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Do you know that you are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? We ought to praise him. Why? Because his Holy Spirit dwells in us. Look in John 16. John 16. We want to start in verse 13. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Why is it that we praise the Lord? We praise the Lord because his Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, shows us the truth of his word, leads us and guides us into those things. And we praise him. Why? Because he's coming back one of these days. He's coming back. He's not gone for good. He is coming back. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Why do we praise the Lord? Because he has brought us nigh unto him. He saved us. He came and he died on a cross for me, that I would have a way of salvation. You think about this. He tells the sun, moon, and stars to praise the Lord, to praise him. Why? Because he created them. Not only did he create us, he came and died for me. I ought to praise the Lord. We ought to. In the last verse, look in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We want to read verses 20 and 21. Deuteronomy 10, verse 20 says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, with thine eyes ye have seen," which thine eyes have seen. There's things, look, we serve him, we praise him. Why? Because he's my God. I praise him. I don't praise him because he's God. I praise him because he's my God. He's mine. I understand, and I hope that you say that you praise him because he's yours. But he's mine. He's my God. And I serve him. I praise him. My life should praise Him, not just here at church. Understand, I know I keep saying that last Sunday and the Sundays before that. And this praise is not to a church. It's something our life should be doing. Our whole life, every decision we make should be considered, is this going to be glorifying to God? Every decision we make should be this way. And you think about this. There's things in our lives, there's things in my life that I've went through. Things that He has done in my life that I've seen Him do. I've experienced things. Blessings from Him. Ways that He's opened up His Word to me. That makes me want to praise Him even more. That's what it does. We praise the Lord. This Psalm 148 ends with the phrase it begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." What are we to be doing this week? What are we to be doing today? What are we to be doing next week? And the week after that, if the Lord blesses in all those. Same thing we were supposed to be doing last week, right? Praise the Lord. Praise Him. What is your life to be doing? When you get done and you look back on your life as Paul did, what we should see is praise. That's what we should see there, that we praise the Lord with our life. I want that for my life, and I want that for your life. If you're here today, if you're listening to this and you're lost, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior today. He's still saving people. Doesn't matter what you've done. None of that matters. What matters is what He's done. He's paid the debt. So believe on Him today. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your word. Lord, and we just thank You for salvation, for saving our souls. Lord, we thank You for that You've told us we need to praise You, and You've told us how and why that we need to praise You, that everything that You've done for us, Lord. Lord, just open up our eyes and we can see. Lord, just search our hearts, search our lives, and anything in our lives that would get in the way, that would stop us from praising You and serving You. Just open up our eyes to those things, Lord, and help us to, with Your strength and Your power and Your might, to get rid of those things, Lord. Help our hope to not be at anything but You. Lord, and we just thank You for Your word. Be with the prayer requests been mentioned, just blessing those. Be with those that lost loved ones, Lord, and those that are sick, heal their bodies up. And Lord, just blessing those things, Lord. We just thank You for all You've done. Lord, and just we ask You to save those that are lost, Lord. Just let me pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen.